morning, Christchurch. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. I'm going to say a prayer to get us started. Dear Heavenly Father, you are wonderful. We are so thankful for your faithfulness. We are thankful that you are a God who makes a way out of no way. I pray, Father, that today you would direct us in the way that we should go, that you would open up our hearts to hear the words of Jesus Christ one more time, and you might call us home to him. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1971, Carole King came out with an incredible album named Tapestry, and on the album is a wonderful song called It's Too Late. And if you haven't heard this song before, or maybe it's been a while since you've heard a little Carole King, you pause me, Google it, Carole King, It's Too Late, and just listen. It's so good. I'm a huge fan of Carole King and her like soulful singer-songwriter style. And in this song specifically, she sings about a relationship that's just reached its breaking point. And of course, there's all kinds of speculation about who she's talking about and who she was dating in the time. But the song itself is about a relationship that used to feel easy and it was light and breezy, and now it just isn't working anymore. And now one person is unhappy and the other feels like a fool. And if I could sing like Carole King, I would belt it out for you. I can't, but she sings in the chorus, "It's too late, baby, now it's too late. Though we really did try and make it, something inside has died and I can't hide and I just can't fake it." And I love the words to this song because we're like, yes, Carole, it is too late. I believe you. And we feel like she feels, and we've felt this way before. We've been in situations where it just felt like it was too late. Nothing can be done to fix everything that's gone wrong. We've been in relationships that went bad and they just didn't work anymore. We've been part of situations that seem so terrible that nothing can be done, or jobs that no longer work. We've had moments where we've tried everything and it just seems too late and like nothing can be done. We've felt fractures in our families that feel like they could never be healed. We've made choices that seems like we could never walk back from them, and inside we're saying it's too late. I can't even hide from the fact there's no fixing it and nothing that can be done. And many of us have taken the same idea, the same thinking about being too late into how we understand God. And we feel like it's too late with God. Like we've messed up too bad, we've made too many bad choices, too many mistakes, we've been away too long, God would never want us back now, we missed the opportunity. We feel this way when we think about God, right? Like if I stepped foot into a church, the roof would collapse. It's so bad. And there's no changing who I am now. It's just too late. I've just been this way for so long. There's no going back. Or some of us feel like this is just it. It doesn't get any better than this. And we just reached a point where it is what it is, and it's too late. And we've given up on the idea of God because we think that he's given up on us. Or we think that he wouldn't want us now, or we're just too much. If you've ever felt this way before, this messed up or too bad or made too many mistakes, or that maybe it's just too late for you and God, or maybe you've had this conversation and somebody said that to you, like, God wouldn't want me now, it's too late. I want to show us a moment in the life of Christ that will help us see this very, very differently. And it's, in fact, right at the end of his time here on earth. In the Gospel of Luke, in all of the Gospels, we can read about Jesus' last moments here on earth when he was condemned to die on the cross. Though he had committed no crime, though even Pilate himself found no guilt in him, Christ was condemned to die a criminal's death on the cross. And crucifixion was a very strong Roman punishment. They used it to set an example to other people, like, you don't mess with Rome. If you try and revolt against us, this is what will happen to you. It's how Rome dealt with criminals and terrorists and insurgents and political agitators and pirates and slaves and people who didn't have any civil rights. And even though Christ was innocent, this was the death he was condemned to die. And we find in Luke's gospel that as Christ hung there on the cross, condemned to die, that he was hung between two other criminals. And some of yours might say different words, but really the word here is an insurrectionist, a terrorist. These were the people that they made an example of who tried to challenge the authority of Rome. And there was no mercy to be found at a crucifixion, only punishment, only brutality and beating and violence and humiliation and a very painful death. And as Christ hung there between these two criminals, Luke tells us how the people around him responded to this event, how the people who were there that day, what they were doing. He said crowds gathered to watch, and they were there for the entertainment of it, the spectacle of it. The rulers who were there, they scoffed at him. They looked down on him with contempt. Really, like, if this is Christ, if he really is a savior, why can't he even save himself? He says he can save other people, and there's nothing he can do. And they scoffed at him. The soldiers who were there to keep things in order, they mocked him. They made a joke of him and laughed at him. They gambled and made a game of his things. They said, if you're a king, you've got that king sign over your cross, then save yourself, do something about it. Even one of the criminals who hung there next to Jesus, who'd experienced the same brutality, the same pain and violence, the Bible tells us he railed at Jesus. He yelled at him and cursed him. Seriously, what kind of a Messiah are you? You're so powerful that you can save yourself. Why aren't you doing anything? Save us. Do something about it. And all these people looked at Jesus, and they responded with anger and cruelty and laughing mockery. They saw this moment as proof that he couldn't be who he said he was and somebody they could just write off and move on with. Except one. Luke tells us that there was another criminal hanging next to Jesus. And he was near death. And he didn't look at Jesus and laugh. He didn't share in the same railing as the other criminal. Instead, this is how he responded in Luke 23, starting at verse 40. He rebuked the other criminal, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we're receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And then he looked at Jesus and said, "Listen, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He looked at Jesus and asked Jesus to remember him because he saw something greater in Jesus. He understood he was guilty. He understood the crimes that he had committed that led him to this point, but Jesus was not. And in this great expression of faith, he asked Jesus to remember him. And even though what was left of his life was so short, it was changed. Because Luke tells us also, we see how these people responded to Jesus, but here's how Jesus responded to the people who were there that day. Though he was beaten and mocked and laughed at and shamed, he didn't rail back at the people. He didn't attempt to make them understand or change their mind, and he didn't plead his cause, and he just took it all on himself. He took the pain and the violence and the shame of the cross, and he endured it till the end. And as he hung there, Luke says there's two things that Jesus says in response to the people. The first one is a prayer. He looks out at all of these people who are mocking him, cursing him, yelling at him, the soldiers, the leaders, the crowd, even the criminal. And this is what he said to God. "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." Even as they were there taunting him and actively being cruel and deriding him, Jesus looked at them and said, "God, don't hold this against them. They don't understand what they're doing. They can't even fully grasp just how terrible this all is." And while Christ hung there in pain, he looked at the people and said, "God, don't remember this cruelty against them. Don't hold it against them." Even as he hung there dying, he interceded on their behalf. And then he offered a promise. That's the second thing Luke tells us he did. When the criminal asked Jesus to remember him, this is what Jesus says. "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And we just, I know sometimes we read verses in the Bible and it's easy to like move on and go to the next and the next, and we kind of miss the power. Listen to these words. I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. This is a promise that Christ makes to a dying man. You're facing death, but after this, you are going to know delight. A criminal was offered forgiveness. A condemned man was shown grace. And in that moment, a sinner was redeemed. Even as his life was ending, it was not too late for him. Because on the other side of this pain and this death, he would be with Jesus in paradise. Even right at the end of his life, it was not too late. And friends, it's not too late for any of us. I know we all have this too much, these too lates that we brought with us today, right? Too tired, too broken, too messed up, too defeated, too addicted, too hurt, too sick, too disappointed, too ashamed, too many bad choices. And if those aren't enough, we've been told our whole life, you're too much, right? You're too loud, or you're too opinionated, or you're too this, or you're too that, and you got to make less, and you got to make less. But friends, none of this is too much for Jesus Christ. There's nowhere we've been that Christ hasn't gone before us. There's nothing we face that Christ can't see us through. Christ hasn't forgotten us. He sees us, and he knows us, and he loves us, and he values us. Not because we're perfect, not because we've gotten everything right, not because we have it all together and our life is working as it should. Instead, right in the middle of our mess, right in the middle of our mistakes and our struggles, of our too muches, Christ sees us and offers us the same forgiveness he offered the crowd that day. Even when we have been faithless, he is faithful still. Even when we haven't gotten it right, he always has. And friends, no matter how far we've run from Christ, no matter what kind of shame and regret we carry with us today, Christ hasn't turned his back. And no, I didn't stand there that day and mock Christ. I didn't rail at him and I didn't curse him, but I've gotten it wrong more than I've gotten it right. And still, Christ has found it in him to forgive a girl like me. And he's found it in him to forgive a guy and a girl just like you. He's not turned his back on us. He hasn't abandoned us. He hasn't changed his mind and said, you know what? You're not worth it. I can't do this anymore. In fact, at our worst, Christ gave his life for us. And yes, though this happened 2,000 years ago, Christ didn't just do it for what we'd done. He did it also for what we might still do. Christ isn't surprised by our mess. He's not shocked by our too much. He isn't disgusted by us. In fact, this is one of my favorite lines. My dad said it, and I've been repeating it over and over and over again. He loves us with an uncritical, satisfied love. Christ isn't waiting to shame you. He's waiting to forgive you. Christ isn't waiting to prove just how terrible you are and what a great mess and disappointment you are. He's waiting to show you just how great his love is, to welcome you home, to bring you back with your family and your team and where he wants you to be. That's why Christ gave his life for us, so that he might exchange every one of our too muches, every one of our too late, too everything we've got going on, for what is best and good in him. He takes our hurt and he replaces it with love. He takes our pain and he exchanges it with peace. He takes our shame, that thing that haunts us and wakes us up in the middle of the night and tells us that we aren't enough. and he replaces it with grace. He takes our shattered dreams and replaces them with hope. And in Christ, we are not forgotten, but we are remembered and loved. We're given new names. We're called sons and daughters and friends. We're called loved and redeemed and rescued and valued and cherished and children of God. Christ took this moment that was filled with indignity and shame and brutality. The cross was meant to be humiliating. It was meant to shame you and put fear into other people's hearts. And Christ used what was looked at as fear and intimidating and all of the brutality and turned it into a symbol of hope and love. When we look on a cross today, we don't look at the brutality and the shame that they thought of thousands of years ago. We think of the incredible grace and love of Jesus Christ, that he gave his life that we might live. Before we even knew it, Christ did this for us. Before we even knew we needed help, while we were just knee-deep in our problems trying to find a way out, Christ came into the world and gave his life for us. And please hear this, friends. Just as Christ offered hope to a dying criminal, he offers hope to us today. That same promise he made to that man stands true for us today, that we will one day be with him in paradise. And that promise changed things for this criminal. He was no longer defined by this lifetime of mistakes that had led him to this terrible moment. He was now defined by Jesus Christ, by the hope he was offered in Christ's promise that he would be with him in a better place, that something greater was waiting for him on the other side. And it's not too late for any of our stories. Christ offers us that same hope that he's been offering for thousands of years, that in him we know love and forgiveness and grace and compassion. And it's the reminder that God isn't done yet. Yes, things are hard, and yes, we've faced terrible things, some more than others and some more extremely in this last year, but God isn't done yet. He's not done writing your story, and he's not done writing ours. There's no such thing as too late when it comes to the promises and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as too broken or too messed up. There's nothing broken that Christ can't fix. It's not too late to know him. It's not too late to hope, because Christ stands ready today to accept and forgive all who would call on his name. Friends, Christ knows you. He knows you. He sees you. He knows the worst that we have to offer, and he's not put off by any of it. He's waiting for us. The question is, will we turn to him? Will we open our heart to him? Will we say, Christ, I want you to remember me. I want to be seen by you. And will we start a new chapter with him today? The love and grace of Jesus Christ is greater than any of our mistakes. I know. Some of us, we've messed up and it's big, right? It's big. But the love of Christ is greater. There's no problem he can't fix, no struggle he can't overcome, no life he can't change, no darkness he can't shine a light on. And friends, he wants to shine that light of his love on us today. I love these words by C.S. Lewis. He said, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." None of us can go back and change yesterday. It's done. We've moved on. We can't go back and change any of the things that we regret or the things that we're upset about or the But we can change today. And by the grace of Jesus Christ, every one of our todays and tomorrows can be different. And the promise of tomorrow is so much greater with the hope of Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would hear our hearts today. I pray for myself. I pray for every single heart that hears these words, Father, that you would call us by name, that we would hear you and follow you and give our lives to you. I pray, Father, whatever has held us back, whatever we have felt that's felt like it's just too much or too late and nothing could be changed, I pray you would break through that today and that the light of Jesus Christ would shine on us. I pray, Father, that you would overwhelm us with your grace. I pray that we would walk out of here today, heads held high, knowing that we are yours and you've got this. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name.